Book of Philemon, did you find it? You know, as we look back to such a long time ago, things were different then. You know, we talked about that a little bit Sunday in a different way, but if we look at the book of Philemon, there's an underlying situation there that has become very divisive because of the impression that people have that God somehow approved of slavery. And, of course, it's just become a big political wedge in our country. But the reality is they had slaves. And, yes, Onesimus was likely a black slave. And Philemon was an Italian. So exactly the kind of picture, image that we would have in our mind of slavery. And Onesimus found a way of escape. He took something. We're not sure exactly what he took, whether it was money or, you know, just goods or whatever, but he stole from Philemon. And he ran away. And so he leaves Colossae and he goes to Rome. And, of course, Rome being the center of government, he finds there, in a greater population, he finds a way to blend in. He blends in. But at some point, he comes across Paul. Now, did he know Paul prior? Probably. The reality is that Philemon knew Paul. They had a friendship, a close friendship by the letter. And so it is possible that Onesimus knew Paul before he left Philemon's house. Paul's imprisoned. He's jailed, or at least what we would consider house arrest in Rome. And Paul sent Onesimus back. And he sends him with this letter. He writes the letter and he hands it to him. He says, "Now you need to go back." But why? Why would Paul insist that Onesimus go back to Philemon? Was it for Philemon's sake or for Onesimus' sake? And if you think about it and you study it, we come to understand, number one, that, you know, it was the direction of the Holy Spirit that Paul guided them to do that. Because as long as Onesimus did not go back, he was a fugitive. As long as he didn't answer the problem remained. As long as he didn't go back and make amends or settle it somehow, he would never be right. You know, and that's one of the things as we look at our lives, and I don't know if you ever have, but as we look at our lives, sometimes we think about somebody we have wronged in the past, and until we try to make amends, it's always going to gnaw at us. And so at some point, it's the right thing to do to just reach out and say, "Hey, I'm sorry. What I did was wrong. What I did was hurtful. You know, I was not as mature, not as wise. I was, you know, whatever. But I hurt you, and I'm sorry, and I hope you forgive me." It's out of your control at that point. But at least you have done your part. And so that's why Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon. But it's a loaded letter, and it's a great letter. Verse 1, Paul, a prisoner, not of Rome, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia. Now, who is that? His wife. That's Philemon's wife. And Archippus. Who is that? That's his son. So when he writes this letter to Philemon, he says, "You know what, man, you're a great friend, and I love you, and your dear wife, and your great son." You know, he's not leaving anybody out. Loves the whole family. And not just them, but he said, "And to the church in thy house." So here's a man who holds church in his house. And, you know, as I pondered on this and meditated on it, you know, we look at people sometimes and we say, "How can you be a Christian and do this or that?" Right, we look at David and the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. Yeah, we see his sin. We see his failures. And Philemon hosted church in his house, and yet he owned slaves. Now, today that's hard for us to reconcile. It was different times back then. But when we examine it, we have to understand that that still was not something God ordained. And so it was something that Philemon did, and he didn't see a problem with it. Well, don't you know that most people who sin don't see a problem with their sin? They do it because they don't think it's a problem. They say, well, the church doesn't like it, but I don't have a problem with it. You know, and they might even say, well, the Bible says I shouldn't do it, but I don't have a problem with it. Well, if the Bible says we shouldn't do it, we shouldn't do it. And so he has a church in his house. And verse 3, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Now, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer. You don't answer out loud. But who do you pray for every day? Making mention of you always. When you pray, and I believe Paul, like we do, had a certain time when he prayed for everybody, you know, in his heart, everybody on, we say on the list, but in his heart, everybody he loved and cared about. So who is on your list? Well, let me tell you something. Philemon was on Paul's list. He had to be pretty close to him. He had to have some kind of strong connection to be on his prayer list when he prayed. And that's what I see this relationship. Again, probably Onesimus knew Paul from back when Paul visited Philemon in Colossae. And so he recognizes Paul when he finds him in Rome. And this is another thing. Think about this. Onesimus lived in the home of Philemon, where a church gathered to pray and to preach. And yet Onesimus wasn't saved. Wow. And so we criticize people, say, well, look at their kids. They weren't doing the right thing. Tell me where Philemon went wrong. Onesimus lived in his house. Probably, you know, saw the church and met and saw this and heard the preaching and the prayers, and yet he was not touched in his heart to get saved in Colossae, not till he traveled and ran away and was a fugitive and a thief that he found Paul and found Jesus. You see that? So just because it's in your house, just because your family prays, and just because your family goes to church, that don't judge parents because their children go awry. Because it happens. Verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Who reported that to Paul? Onesimus did. Now, I'm reading between the lines, I'll admit that. But you know, Onesimus, after he got away from home, just like kids do, I can't wait till I get my own place. Well, good, you got some money saved up to buy a house. Well, how much do you need? How much house do you want? And then how much your monthly payment's going to be? You mean I got to pay that much every month? Yeah. And then they get a job and find out about FICA, whoever that is. Right? Taking money out of their check every time. I don't even know who FICA is, but I'm giving them money every time. But all of these things that they didn't recognize when they were living under mom and dad's house, when everything was provided, yeah, they might have done chores, and Onesimus worked around the house. He was a slave, real legitimate slave. He worked there. But once he got away from that home, and whatever he had ran out, we've read this story before, haven't we? The prodigal son. When Onesimus got all the way to Rome, and he got there, and it doesn't say this, but he probably ran out of money. He probably got on hard times. And he looks back at the life that he used to have, and he says, you know what? I'm missing that place. But I can't go back. I can't go back because I stole. I can't go back because I escaped. I can't go back. And don't ever get that sense with God. Yes, you've sinned. Yes, you've backslidden. Yes, you've fallen. Yes, you've even been angry with God maybe. But you know what God does? That prodigal son, the father's got his arms out like that saying, come home. Just come home. Just come home. We don't have to run no matter what you've done. Come home. Paul says, well, how's Philemon doing? You know, that guy's a great guy. Love and faith. Not just toward Jesus, but toward everybody. What a great man Philemon is. Man, I love that guy. Look at verse 7. Paul says, we have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Philemon is an encouragement to others. He lifts people up. He helps people. He makes people better people. He makes them strive to be better people. Yeah. That's funny. That's what he's doing. Onesimus. Where's Paul getting this report from? Onesimus. Well, Onesimus, why did you run? Well, you know, the grass was greener on the other side. I didn't like all the rules, and I didn't like all the restrictions, and I didn't like all the work. I thought I'd be better off on my own. Well, here you are on your own. How's it going? I'd like to go home, but I don't know if I can. If I go back, I'm in trouble with the law. I'm in trouble with Philemon. I've just ruined everything. Verse 6, the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So Paul is saying that Philemon makes a difference the way he talks to people, the way he deals with people. Verse 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You see, Paul didn't posture. He pastored. He didn't try to demand. He put his arm around them, you know, spiritually speaking, and loved them, and said, I believe in you. I hear all these great things about you, the report, the testimony from my experience with you. You're a man of God, and you're making a difference, and you love everybody, and people are encouraged just to be around you. And I'm about to ask you to do something, and I don't want to be ugly. I don't want to say, because I said so. I want to say, because that's who you are. Remember, how people treat you says more about them than it does about you. And how we respond says more about us than it does about them. Verse 10. This is where it becomes clear. And I want you to realize Onesimus handed him this letter. When he shows up, the first thing he does is hand him this letter. I got this from Paul in Rome. He wants you to read this. Verse 10, I beseech thee, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. What does that mean? Paul led him to Jesus. That's what it means. It means he got saved. And he calls him my own son. How are you going to treat my children? I was thinking about that. You know, if somebody screams at or criticizes or demeans my children, it affects my relationship with that person. How about if we do that to God's children? How does that affect his relationship with us? Ooh, something to think about. Verse 11, he said, in times past, he was to thee unprofitable, but now he's profitable to me and to thee and to me. Yeah, there was some struggle. There was something that happened. He did wrong. But what if he hadn't run away? He'd have been a lost man in your house. But he ran away, and now he's a saved man, and he's coming back to your house. Guys, the struggles in life sometimes bring us right where we need to be. And if we look at it, we say, well, you know, Onesimus' problems are problems he brought on himself. No doubt. But how many of us ever had problems that we brought on ourselves? Every one of us. Decisions that we made, choices we made. Verse 12, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, That is mine own bowels. It's as if I'm taking my heart and handing it to you. Wow. Laying it on, isn't he? Verse 13, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered to me in the bonds of the gospel. I need him here. He could have helped me here. I could have acted like it was no big deal. I could have just sent you a letter and said, hey, by the way, he's with me. Verse 14, but without thy mind would I do nothing. Ooh. Guys, that's respect right there, isn't it? That is respect. I would have kept him. I could have just sent you a note and said, hey, Onesimus is here. You know, sorry about what happened. Let me know what he owes you. We'll work it off or whatever. But instead, he said, I sent him back, even though I could have used him, because you need to make that decision. It needs to be your decision, not mine. Incredible how many times, if we'll wait for the person to make the decision, a lot of times they make the right decision. If we just not infuse ourselves and impose. Verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Again, if he hadn't left, he wouldn't be saved right now probably. But because he lived with you and he didn't get saved. Now, he was there every day and he didn't get saved, but now he's come to see me and got saved. So maybe it was what was needed. Verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me. How much more to thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And this relationship that Onesimus and Philemon have, you know, it's like a father and a son. And I know they're grown. I know they're men. And I know one's the slave and one's the owner. I get it. Guys, the image that has been pressed upon us is always the worst case scenario. But if we would have sat around and talked to some of the ones that had been around in those days, and maybe you did, some of the, you know, the relationships were not as bad as we hear. Again, I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying not everybody was abused. So please don't misunderstand my explanation there. But he says now he's a brother beloved. Not just a servant, but a brother. Verse 17, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If you love me, you love him. Jesus says something like that, didn't he? Jesus says something about loving others as we love Jesus. Yeah. And they're his children. Verse 18, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. And then, you know, Philemon probably thought, yeah, let me think. It was, you know, so much money and so much of this and so much time, and calculated it up. Did you read the next part? Verse 19, I have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Oops. I guess I better erase that debt. He says, I get it, he owes you something. But let's wash it. Because the truth, or the question is this, Philemon, where would you be? Paul saying this, if I hadn't come along and led you to Christ. Now you say, oh, that's not fair, that's not right. But he's not doing it for himself. It's not manipulation on Paul's part. Look, he sent Onesimus back. He didn't keep him. He didn't make use of him. He sent him home and he said, give him this letter. It's for Onesimus' sake and for Philemon's sake. Again, there's no self-interest on Paul's part. Verse 20, yea, brother, let me have the joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. As Paul writes this letter, and I know we've probably all been in this situation where we say, I wonder what's going to happen. I'm going to write this letter, and I'm going to remind them that, you know, I've given a lot to him. But I'm going to trust him to do the right thing. And what's the chance? There's always that chance he won't. You see, Onesimus is in legal trouble. What he did was wrong. And so Philemon always had the option of going on the legal side and saying, no, this is what's right, this is what's wrong, and you did what's wrong, you stole from me. But you know what Paul taught by the leadership of the Holy Spirit? He said, brother should not take brother to court. We should not take each other to court. We should settle matters within the church or among ourselves, between friends. I just tell you, if I have wronged you, tell me how. If I owe you, tell me how. I'll pay it. And if you have wronged me, I forgive it. And if you owe me, I forgive it. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Many times people have borrowed money from me. And I said, I got to have this back. I need this back. I'll give it. But this was a loan. You say it's a loan. I say it's a loan. You're going to pay me back. Yes. And the longer along it went, the more it became a burr in my side. And most of the time they forgot about it because they already spent it. They've already borrowed more money from somebody else. So never loan money that you need. Never loan money. Just don't do it. It's a bad, because all that. And so finally, you got to tell them, I forgive it. I forgive it. And there's always that blessing of that person. There's been times, I remember one time I sold a car to a friend, and the price was the price, and they'll pay me along the way. And then they came along and said, I'm in hard times. I said, just you pay me when you can. And I forgot about it. Boy, wasn't that a blessing when it showed up, though. Wasn't that a blessing when I had forgotten about it and I got it? He says, let me be refreshed. Refresh me. Encourage me. Let me know that you really are the real deal. Let me know that you really are a Christian, that you really can forgive. Let me know that you really do love all creatures, all men from every part of the world. Remind me that you really have heard what the Lord has said to you through me and through other teachers. Verse 21, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote, knowing that thou will also do more than I say. And doesn't it really encourage us when we have an expectation and someone exceeds that? They do more than is expected. No, as Onesimus was running from his past, he would never find peace until he dealt with that. That's why Paul sent him home. Not because he was a slave. It wasn't for Philemon's sake. It was for Onesimus' sake. Go back, settle your troubles, and maybe Philemon will send you back here to me to help me. I'm going to put a little note in here that says, I need you. Maybe Philemon will send you back to help me. But for your sake, you've got to face this. You can't keep running from it. Go settle it. Onesimus had found grace in Christ. His sins were washed away. But there were people he still needed to settle up with. Would you stand? Father, I pray tonight that we examine our hearts and lives, and if there be at any point somewhere that we have hurt or injured someone spiritually or financially or physically, emotionally, God, that you would bring to our hearts those that we need to reach out to and say, I'm sorry. We need to ask forgiveness and even repay if there's some way that we can restore so that our relationships can be whole and so that our conscience can be clear. But Lord, if there's anything in our hearts that's amiss, I pray that you would bring it to us so we can settle it. We thank you for Jesus, for our salvation, for this account of the salvation of Onesimus and of the maturity, the expectation of the maturity of Philemon. And I pray that others can see that same Christian maturity in us. Dismiss us with your grace and bring us back again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.